magnificent listeners, and welcome to Fumble Through!
Fumble Through!
A podcast distilled in barrels made from sapient pearwood and stored in the lair of a green dragon. Come with us as we journey through a fantasy land filled with dangerous creatures, mysterious portals, and a tiefling with a floppy tail. Hopefully you'll have as much fun as we do being thwarted by our dice rolls at every turn. And if you like our show,
follow us on socials and rate us on whatever podcast app you're listening to us right now.
Excellent. What socials have we got, Lindsay?
We got Instagram, we got Facebook, we got Twitter.
Carrier pigeon?
Actually, I prefer hawk, but you know.
Okay, I've got a little drake that I like to...
You got that pseudo dragon you're asking for last session.
Call him on my cell phone. See what I did there? My name's Justin, and I'll be running the game this session. And joining me in the Fumble Factory is Luke.
Hey, how you going? And in case you're wondering, these new glasses, I didn't pay for them. I stole them from Penfold.
Indubitably.
Penfold the winemaker.
The very same.
Wow. What show was Penfold from?
Peabody. Danger Mace.
Peabody and Penfold? Or
Danger Mace.
Oh, I Danger went Mace to a totally different. Oh, yeah. I went to a totally wasted. Different Penfold.
Great work wasted there.
It wasn't wasted on most people, just.
Just me.
I actually know who Danger Mouth is, so.
What, the He's original great. Or the new souped up?
I didn't know that was the new souped up one.
Yeah, the new one's not great. Lindsay!
So I'm going to polarize our audience here and say I actually don't like Lord of the Rings, the way it was written. But I do think J.R. Tolkien would make an excellent module writer.
Okay, I've got some clarifying questions here.
Who are we getting in to replace Lindsay on the podcast?
I've got some clarifying questions here because I may surprise everyone in a second. Are you talking about the books or the movies?
The books.
Have you watched the movies? What's your thoughts on the movies?
I like the movies, yeah.
I am not a fan of anything but the Lord of the Rings extended edition.
Yeah, it's got to be extended.
The only thing I liked. I hated the movies until I saw the extended editions. I have tried to read those books so many times, same. And I have stopped at Tom Bombadil every time. Every time.
Is it 100 pages in and you're only actually still at Bilbo Baggins' birthday party?
Yeah, and you're still in a poem.
Yeah. So, good. I didn't polarize our party.
No. I find reading the books like reading the Bible. It's like Bilbo begets Bilbo who begets son of Bilbo for...
Proud feet!
But you think about it, right? Cimmerillion is a D&D campaign. That's the world setting ready for everyone else to take their seat.
What's the Cimmerillion?
The Hobbit reads
much. Is that the boat that they leave on at the end?
Cimmerillion is like this one after... Lord of the Rings. It's like an encyclopedia.
Read that either. If I haven't read Lord of the Rings, as if I've read the Silmarillion.
Silmarillion gives you all the history, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Building up to all of it, yeah.
Brett!
So, I've been wondering how deep the ocean would be if it didn't grow sponges in it.
They're right. Sometimes I worry about what you think about when you're not around people.
What? Maybe there's a solution for climate change or the rising tides or something. Just put some more sponges in the ocean. No?
And special guest star this week is Pernicious Optimism.
Pernicious Optimism. I'm so optimistic it hurts.
That's right. To get us in the zone, I always like to start with a bit of a discussion so that we can get our nerd juices flowing. But remember, if you've got an idea or a suggestion for us for any questions or discussion topics, please send them through at fumblethrough.com or hit us up on our socials. The question that I'd like to pose for you guys this week is about magic in film. Who does magic best in film or television, and why do they do it best or even worst?
I'm a big fan of magic with rules. Like, I don't like magic that... Like Gandalf can just do whatever he wants when he wants because he needs to. Or any magic that's just...
What, talk to a moth?
Yeah, or summon light or, you know, whatever.
The eagles are coming.
I like magic with rules, and there's not a lot of magic and rules in movies, but I like Howl's Moving Castle and like the Ghibli universe magic.
But what about Howl's Moving Castle?
Well, he's got this little fire demon that was like a falling star that he caught before it hit the ground, and he keeps it kind of like in his... Moving Castle, spoiler alert.
I don't know that movie. Mm-hmm. So what are the rules? What
It's basically almost a steampunk castle that is powered by a fire demon that he's basically tricked into a deal. And it's just, it's rules. I like
magic with rules.
I like knowing that's his limitations is if that demon, if he ever breaks his contract with this demon, that demon can basically destroy him.
Right.
That makes sense. What about you, Luke?
I don't know. I'm quite scared now saying mine because I'm sure it hasn't got any rules in it. But I quite like the portrayal of
rules anyway.
That's true. Yeah. What are rules? Sorcerer's Apprentice.
The movie. Is that the one with Nicolas Cage?
It is. Yeah. Surprisingly. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoyed that as well.
I very much like the combat, especially the bit where he ends up sticking the bad guy through the mirror and sticking him there, kind of thing. That was pretty impressive. Far more than what I would assume would be the obvious choice, which is a bit of HP. Harry Potter.
Okay.
You got it? Yep.
I do.
Yeah, you're framing him pretty profusely.
You can't say Harry Potter, because that's mine.
No. Oh, well, there we go then. All right. Yeah, Sorcerer's Apprentice. You're welcome.
I do like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. I thought the film was
average, but the portrayal of the...
You're talking to Mickey Mouse. Sorcerer's Apprentice, where he's a magician and the music...
That was
pretty cool.
Fantasia.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I've got two, if you don't mind. Doctor Strange's fight in the Marvel Universe. I love that fight. I love the whole idea. You knew that there were artifacts that he couldn't use. He had limited abilities. There's guys who had ultimate abilities, and he was using what he could, how he could. And at the end of the movie, you see awesome power. I love that. And then the airbender.
Oh.
Airbender magic is just amazing. Like the rules around that, you can do different whatevers.
And again, you're talking the TV show, not the movie?
Yeah.
Wait, there's a TV show?
I must admit, I almost went Doctor Strange because of visually appealing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But I'm just it is a bit still wishy-washy for me.
Bending reality. I did think Doctor Strange early on because I think in terms of cinematography, I think the way that the things spin and the way they've got the different lights and the geometric shapes, I really like that. But I'm with you. I think there's not enough limitations on that. How does that fit into a universe? Where does it stop? Is he all powerful? And if he is all powerful, then
yeah, he's the Sorcerer Supreme.
He is, but he's the pretty Sorcerer fucking powerful, Supreme, isn't it? Because he has the Eye of Agamotto. So other sorcerers are up there with him. Like if you are talking comic books, there are a whole heap, but we're talking MCU here. I'm going to go into a deep dive in this if you let me talk about comic books. So I'm not going to.
So for me, the visuals weren't that much chop because Inception did all of that visual stuff already.
That's true. Yeah.
Like I kind of felt like we'd seen all that. I just hadn't seen a fight where a cloak saves your life and you get your guy trapped in a frame of, the cloak does go this way, no, that not that way, that he was – we knew there were buttons to different worlds and he made people fall through them and press the button. Like those things were pretty cool. You knew what the limitations of that magic was and he used them.
Like when he gets defibrillated and fries the guy's brain.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I really like that. Look, for me, I'm a big sucker for the traditionals. I'm going Harry Potter. I just love the idea that Harry Potter not only took the audience through learning magic, we learnt special words. We all know Wingardium Leviosa. We know words from that. But what I like the most is that you have to have a wand to cast a spell. If you don't have your magical kind of conduit, you can't cast a spell. And I really enjoy the idea of that. I enjoy the idea that you have to say a word, do a gesture in order to cast a spell. Of course, they don't have a mana pool or a contingency on that. There's no rules there other than do you know the spell, then you can cast it.
There's a verbal and a somatic
component, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I've spoken this on the podcast already, but I just can't get past how stupid Voldemort is in that whole thing there.
What do you mean Voldemort's stupid?
So he gets stopped by love. Stupid reason for not being able to kill someone.
I'm sorry, are you saying that the fifth element in Captain Planet shouldn't be there?
Yes.
Most powerful care bearer in the world.
Are we talking that? So we're talking that a spell that kills people is stopped by love. So every other person that has died from that spell has never been loved.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to stick with that, right? And then he tries to kill Harry through the book series, five, six times maybe? Just get a fucking gun. Just walk up to him on the streets of London, pop a cap in that ass, done.
It really would ruin a whole franchise, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it would.
There's a sense of storytelling that needs to unpack.
One would think that perhaps a gun might not work against Voldemort, against the Crucius Curse.
No, I'm saying Voldemort should have popped a cap in Harry's ass.
Oh, but he was too busy being connected to the back of someone's head.
Yeah.
He didn't have a body at some points.
Yeah,
that's
true. He had other people's bodies.
He had to eat a unicorn.
Just drank the blood. Yeah. Gosh.
Oh, is there a difference between eating a unicorn and I didn't eat it, I just drank its blood.
I mean, it would be a lot more impressive.
Yeah, it's the difference between having bacon and black pudding, really, at the end of the day, isn't it?
Same difference, isn't it? Oh, we've gone off the rails. We have gone off the rails.
So I've recently rewatched the Harry Potter series with my children for the first time. And in the first movie, in the first Quidditch match, I remembered that I knew one of the broomflies in that match. So shout out to Will. How are you, buddy? He's the guy that's chasing the snitch down with Harry, the other broom.
Hey, Will.
What's up, Will?
Look, I'm really excited about this week's episode. Last week's episode left us in a little bit of an emotional void. A lot of things happened. This time, I'm really worried about what's going on for you. You guys are now down to three people, which really is a concern for me. However, do you recall one of the biggest things that we got from last episode?
We got an awesome buff.
Yes. What was that buff, Luke?
We got temporary hit points.
Yes. You got AIDS. Yes, so you got the spell Aid cast upon you, which gives you some temporary hit points, makes you guys a little less squishy. But again, you got to remember that you've just lost one of your frontline fighters, and I don't want to diminish your stature, Reg, but you're a little person.
I am. I'm squishy.
Yeah. Hey, size isn't everything.
It's true.
That's what you tell your wife.
My wife.
You find yourselves having walked into this icy complex. You've gone through those two statue rooms. You've now left Decath as a statue behind you, walked through, and you've entered this library. You've stumbled into this ancient library, which is lined with bookshelves on either side. It's a 15-foot wide room, just to bring you back into that. Down each side of the room, you've got bookshelves, which are covered in books, obviously. About halfway down the 25-foot length of the room, you've got two tables that are designed for reading or researching. At the far end of the room, we have an armoire or a cupboard for Luke, who doesn't speak French. And next to that cupboard, we have standing like some type of mechanical construct full of gears and metal. Reg has approached it. Reg touched it. As soon as Reg touched it, it came to life and sort of engaged you with a bit of a conversation. As you look at it now, it says, "You did not provide the correct activation word. You will now be treated as intruders and removed from the library." Roll your initiatives, please, as the three legs extend from the ground, lifting it to its full 5-foot height. The forearms swivel to life in front of it, and it begins to move forward in an aggressive manner. Let's hear your initiatives. Who thinks that they've got the shittest initiative?
My initiative is significantly shit.
What is your initiative modifier?
+4.
What's your initiative modifier, Luke?
+6.
And what is Miles McCarthy's?
+3.
So at +6, you should, Reg should be pretty good. So Flopsy, what did you get for your initiative?
5.
Okay.
+4. 5.
Okay. So doing really well. This is a great sign. What did Little Reg get?
Little Reg got 11.
Oh, 11.
With a +6. So
that
yeah,
ain't bad at all. And Miles
McCarthy got a 14.
Oh, 14 from Miles. That Dick. Is... That's all well and dandy, except the clockwork creature goes first. The first thing that happens is it looks straight at Reg, who is standing right next to it. It kind of whirls over and says, "Failure to do the activation word means that you will be ejected from the library." It kind of pushes one of its arms towards you, and you can see it doesn't have a hand on that arm. A net shoots from that arm going over you, provoking an attack of opportunity because you're right next to it. So make your attack of opportunity, because that's going to be important, because whatever, if you hit this guy and do some damage to it, I have to take that off its to hit roll, and this is a touch attack to get you. So getting hit by a net means it's not going to be a great combat for you.
Okay, I rolled a 16.
Put a bit of body back,
I got
Reggie.
A 16. I rolled an 11. I got a 16.
16.
Yeah.
Meets it.
Yeah, meets it, beats it.
Yeah, that's right.
For a grand total of 2 damage.
Ooh, 2 points of damage is not the worst thing it does. Let's see how the net goes. I rolled a natural 3. There is no way that that net is going to touch you, because that goes down to a 1, given the damage that you did. And its to hit is only 4 with a net. That's a 5 touch attack.
Doesn't hit.
Reg uses his guile and cunning to dodge out of the way of the net. Maybe you push it out of the way. The next person that acts is Miles.
I'm going to grab the book on the shelf that clearly says instruction manual for the construct creature.
Sure.
And read it.
You grab a book.
Is there a book that clearly says that?
So you grab a book from the shelf?
I'm just assuming.
You picked up a book from the shelf. Just roll a d6 for me, please, Lindsay.
6.
As you open this book, the book shoots a burning hand spell straight at you. Straight in your face. Reflex save, please. Ouch.
This is quite bad. You want to make this save.
Yeah, this level, very bad.
Even with aid.
So bad.
You basically just reach out, grab a book, thinking this might help. You open the book. As you open the book, this spidery language transfers itself all over the page, coalesces, it catches on fire, and that fire jets straight into your face.
That's a 10.
A 10 reflex save. You have failed your reflex save, and you take, that is, oh, that's not bad at all. You take 9 points of damage from this jet of flame that comes out. That was
there goes my 9 temporary hit points.
I was going to say, that was some pretty max damage.
Good job you had them.
That you did there. It also gives you an indication, though. What have you learned from this?
If we open the books in his direction, we might kill him.
I learned that Justin gives and then takes away immediately.
Reggie turns to Miles and says, is that your hot tip for the day?
So you've just learned to read magic, right?
Yeah.
Did that say sucked in?
It says, my eyeballs. All right. So you've grabbed the book. That's happened. That's your standard action. You've got a move action left.
I'll probably just stay where I am, to be honest.
You stay exactly where you are. Reg, it's your go.
Okay. I'm going to flurry. So I'm going to move in for the attack. First hit. Oh, is it 16 again?
16 hits.
For, max damage. 5 points of damage.
For 5 points of damage, that's the first hit?
Yes.
Okay, so your first hit does that.
So I come in with a swinging hook.
Mm-hmm.
With the idea to spin around for the back fist on the return as I spin on the spot. But I get, for that, I get just get, unfortunately, an 11 to hit.
An 11 is not enough. And the
swing wildly.
Yeah, just one of its arms just comes up and blocks that hit. Seeing you spin around was a bit of a tell. You led with your shoulder. You know better than that, Reg.
That's
come
true.
On.
I'm under pressure. I just dodged a net.
She wasn't
happy.
All of us went to jump on that joke. Flopsy, your go.
So Flopsy wants to make a couple of checks before he does his
course.
Knowledge check. Is there a possible knowledge check on this creature?
Yes, this is a knowledge plane.
Oh, I've got a bit of that. How does 27 take you?
27 is perfect. You know that this
Hang on a second.
Yes.
27, motherfucker. Suck it.
Please. It's a natural 20.
That was a 19 with a plus Ooh. 8, my Ooh. Friend.
27 is enough for you to understand that this is a clockwork servant that is in front of you. A clockwork servant is a four-armed mechanical device. You know that it's a construct. It has all the construct traits, so you can't do anything about its mind. You can't do anything about its fortitude. You also know that it is vulnerable to electricity. So make sure that you know that. You also know that it has the ability to heal itself. So it's got a fast healing ability where it heals itself. As a standard action, do repairs on itself as it's going. So two of its arms can go glunk, glunk and start putting itself back together if you do not take this thing out as quickly as you need to.
As a standard action, though?
As a standard action.
Okay, cool.
Does it stand on 2 legs?
It stands on 3 legs.
3 legs, 4 arms.
3 legs, 4 arms.
I'll relay that information to my illustrious party members.
Well, forearmed is forewarned.
This is a clockwork servant. It's got 4 arms. It's forearmed is forewarned, apparently. It's a 4-arm mechanism that's a construct that doesn't do fortitude or brain damage. It's vulnerable to electricity, and it has fast healing, so take it out fast. With electricity. Fast.
Can I also do a spellcraft check on the book?
Oh, hello. 24.
The book cast Burning Hands.
The book cast Burning Hands.
The book cast Burning Hands.
Very interesting.
So you think maybe these books aren't exactly what they seem. There's something more to them.
These books have a bit more something to them.
Those books have something weird going on when they cast spells. So be careful. Don't touch them. We'll have to investigate them. Leave them alone.
Okay. What are you doing?
I will absolutely hold my action.
Holding action. Great.
He's just holding for Reggie to kick this thing in the face.
Okay. Excellent. At which point it's the clockwork creature's go. The clockwork creature takes one of its arms. It moves back again with that same cannon, that same kind of shooting net action, and it attempts to hit you again. Again, standing right next to you, not really figuring out what this attacks of opportunity kind of thing is. You get another one.
Okay.
Put it in a body bag, half cut.
So this time I just go up for a straight chop to the throat.
Hiya!
Yep, the throat.
Yep. Do robots have throat?
The construct's vulnerable throat.
The throat area, the head area.
Yeah, you want to cut off its airways.
I want to see if I can decapitate it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I rolled a 17.
Oh, 17 Suck is it. Enough to hit. So how much damage do you do?
22. Here we go. This is going to be the depressing bit. Oh, no. 3 points of damage.
Three points of damage. That's one more point of damage than you did last time you took an attack of opportunity.
That's right. We're getting there.
You guys are remembering that aid gives us plus one to attack, right?
Mm-hmm. I haven't attacked.
Neither have I. Himself. He's attacked himself.
That is a 13 touch attack to hit little Reg with this net.
Not enough. As the arms come up with the cannon, it's fired off, and he's basically just done a backflip on the spot.
Oh, nice. Miles, how do you combat with that? Because it's your turn.
Miles is going to grab another book off the shelf, but he's going to then move forward and open it at the creature.
Okay, so you take a book, you open it. Can you roll a d10 for me?
Heal, 3d6.
It's a construct, it won't.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Have to get mending.
Am I going
to
get caught in this?
That would be an 8.
An 8. As you do that, you see magical conflagration again start popping out of the book. The book then shoots a whole heap of weird things towards the construct. I'm assuming right now that you've done it away from Reggie.
Yeah,
and
I would have
right next.
Like,
you've gone base to base with it.
Yep.
Thanks, Miles.
Nothing happens. The construct just stays there. It doesn't seem to be affected by whatever spell. The spell hit it straight in the face, but nothing happens. You might need to lean on your magic users to actually identify what just went off. Are you going to do anything else?
I guess that's move and action, right?
Yeah. All right, Reg, you'll go.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt right now, if that's okay.
Sure.
Can I do a spellcraft check on what that book just did?
Of course you can.
Oh, 12.
That is a 12. You don't really, you can't identify what it is.
So I'll do an action then.
Sure.
I'd like to acid splash at it, please, with cantrip acid splash, just to lay on the damage, because I just saw Reggie give it a good whack.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, remember, he's in combat at the moment, so can you fire into combat without negatives?
I don't have any kind of ability to not fire into melee without taking a negative.
Okay, so this takes a -4 to your, as you try not to hit Reg, and now you've also got Miles, who's moved up into base-to-base.
Yeah, but they don't add up, do they? It's just one -4.
It's just one -4.
A 12 to hit.
Your 12 flies past the mark. As you're trying to weave through your companions who are dodging and weaving, you just miss and you put a little acid mark in the wall behind it, in the armoire. That's a cupboard, look.
If you say so.
Reg, it is your turn.
Okay, so having seen all that go on, Reg is now going to jump up with a knee to the midsection of the construct with a 9.
A 9 is not going to hit.
Okay, so as he's in the air with this knee up, he then flicks his opposite leg up for a kick now to the face.
Wonderful.
Oh, looks good.
Natural 20.
Oh, that's amazing.
Get that down on the tally.
Okay, this is something that you need, and I believe constructs are vulnerable. So let's see if you confirm.
I was getting ahead of myself there. I was rolling the damage. Oh, fuck no. Okay, roll a 2.
No, 2's not. What's,
that'd be 8 in total.
Does not confirm. Okay, but you hit anyway and you do awesome damage.
3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. You see a little bit of smoke start to come out of this creature's torso. You can see it's part of it is actually melding back together as it's got natural healing, but you can see that you're doing enough damage to it that it's not keeping up with that natural healing as well.
Hang on, did you say natural healing is a standard action or it just happens?
No, it's got natural healing, but it can also administer healing onto itself as well. That brings us up to round number 3, the clockwork figure. Seeing that Miles has moved straight up to it, the cannon moves towards Miles McCarthy, fires against Miles McCarthy, provoking an attack of opportunity from both characters who are standing in base to base.
That was, that's going to be a miss. I rolled a 2.
Okay.
So I rolled a 17.
That's 5 total.
5 misses. What did you roll, sorry, Reg?
In total with my modifiers, it's going to be a 23.
23, that definitely hits. You are rolling magnificently right now.
Reggie.
Another 3 points of damage.
Oh, another 3 points of damage.
Chip away.
It shoots a net straight at Miles McCarthy.
Poor Annette.
Reg hits the arm as hard as he can, flying the net over your head and missing entirely. You see the net fly onto a bookshelf. Books go skirting around. Luckily, none of them open because that could be catastrophic.
Thanks for that, Reg.
Steady on, boy.
Well done, little man.
Miles, it's your go.
Miles is going to lash out with a fist. Ooh, I don't think it's going to hit. That's 9 to hit.
Come on, boy, like I taught you.
You lash out with your fist, but it's not enough. I mean, this isn't ice you're breaking this time. This is a mechanical construct. And you miss. Doing anything else?
5 foot step back.
Okay, you move out of base to base from it. Breach brings us down to Flopsy.
Flopsy's going to try the acid again, this time realizing it can hit its touch armor class. Natural 19.
Nice.
Oh, that's excellent.
Minus 4 plus 2 should be a 17.
17 damage. Smashes straight into this constructed librarian.
And it does 2 points of acid damage. The acid lasts for a whole round.
The acid hits into it. It hits the cogs to its midsection and you blast a hole into its mechanisms. And you can see that going on as it continues to sizzle away. Reg, you'll go.
Okay, so how's it looking right now?
It's smoking. It's got a hole in its torso section. It's not looking great at all. It's really hard to, I couldn't say, use the term bloodied at all because you don't know how much blood, but there's oil that's coming out of it. Like, it's not looking in a great way.
Okay, so Reggie's seeing that it's last legs maybe, is going to go for gold. It's going to jump up in midair. He's going to do a turning kick followed by a reverse turning kick. So kind of spinning in the air.
I love
one
it.
Kick followed by another. First kick is a 17, so that's
going to
hit for 3 points of damage.
Nice.
And the second one, sadly, I think will go wide with 13 to hit.
No, the second kick just flies over its head as the first one knocks it down a little bit. Oh, this is exciting. I'm very excited,
Reginald,
by this. I can only assume Miles has moved away to open another book. The clockwork creature, once again, still not learning from what it's done in the last few rounds. Reggie, you're the only one that's right next to it. Again, you get an attack of opportunity as it fires a fourth net out of its arm.
Okay, that wasn't much better. So that is a 14 to hit.
The 14 doesn't hit, but the net flies wide as this thing shoots straight over the top of you. It kind of looks at you and goes, you leave. I'm not. Go. And then it kind of goes back and its arms swivel around and then it's Miles's go.
True. Miles is going to grab another book off the shelf nearby.
Okay.
He's going to take another step forward.
Roll a percentile chance, please.
Ooh. Percentile chance.
Something lightning. Come on.
2d10s. So that's a 46.
46%. So you take the book off the shelf. So you just grab a random one.
Random book.
Off the shelf. What do you do with it?
I then step forward and open it in front of him.
And for all the good that it did, you might as well have thrown it to him because nothing happens.
Good
nothing
centerfold,
happens.
Though.
There's no magic in this book. Nothing
What's
happens.
What's it say on the cover?
You kind of open it. You look at the cover in front of you. Do you read Draconic?
No.
Then you don't know.
Touché.
It's like
Flopsy, it's your go.
Flopsy reads Draconic.
Yeah, but you're
what book
you're
is that?
You're 20 feet back, buddy.
The Joy of Seth.
I don't know who Seth is, but
Flopsy's going to speak to the construct.
Mm-hmm. Creature, you're about to get kicked into next week. You might want to lay your nets down and talk for a little bit.
Leave. You have not said activation word.
Tell me the activation word and I'll tell it to you.
You cannot trick me.
Right.
Acid splash. He misses with an acid splash.
The acid splash fires wide again, coming down to Reg. Come on, Reg. This is all up to you.
So this time, Reg is going to come up with an uppercut, full force, and following through with a backflip kick to the head.
Ooh, oh, sounds great.
Backflip scissor kick.
So I get a 17
hits
on the uppercut. 3 points of damage. That's a consistent roll on the two of the four.
That is.
And then obviously hitting the head away, I get the same roll again for the back kick as well. Roll at 11, so that's a 17 total.
So 17 definitely hits.
Again, 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. 3 points of damage is enough that on that back kick, you snap its head straight off its body. It hits the floor with a clang, rolls around, and comes to a stop.
Error.
Just in front of Miles's feet.
Really was a masterclass, Richard. Well done.
All of these work.
I wouldn't go reading any more of those books.
Does it look like the construct is healing itself still?
No, the construct has stopped moving. It basically has, it's without its head, it's fallen down, and you think it's decommissioned.
Okay. I would like to look at the covers of the books in order that Miles, so Flopsy will go up and just check the covers of the books, particularly the Burning Hands book, but also the second one that he didn't identify.
The first book that you open is A History of Planar Exploration. So it's called A History of Planar Exploration in Draconic.
And the second?
The second one is written in, do you read Aslanti?
I have No Aslanti.
The second one, you don't understand anything about that book. You don't recognize the language. It's written in an ancient language.
And The Joy of Seth?
Is that the one next to the Kama Kukra?
All right.
Isn't that the weapon you wield, the Kama Kukri?
The last book is entitled The Joy of Seth.
Ah, and I will read that book from front cover to back cover. We got a time, right? We got time. I'll be in the back corner, boys.
What happened to your voice, Flossie?
More than anything else, you kind of look at those books that are sitting on the floor and you think they're not really, like, you look at the actual bookshelves for the very first time and you see a repetition, almost a pattern in the way that things are written. These books aren't all different. These books look very similar to each other. And even as you're looking at them, you go to touch one on the shelf and it kind of changes a little bit. You see there's just something odd with these books in the shelves.
Do you mind if I detect magic for a second, or Miles, would you want to practice your skills?
Oh, yes, certainly. And he borrows the crystal again and does the little alignment, twists through it like he's looking through a kaleidoscope and does detect magic.
You detect magic, definitely. The books all kind of glow magic, but the books kind of move around. It's more the bookshelf itself that glows magic than it is the books that glow magic.
It seems to be the bookshelf that's magical, not the
books. The aura is faint and you think that there's a transmutation kind of magic inside it.
What did you see, boy?
It seems to be the bookshelf that is magical rather than the books themselves.
Very interesting. We should check that later. I just want to have a look at this construct, and Flopsy will do an investigation on the construct, see if there's anything usable in the construct itself.
The construct doesn't have, it's just a whole heap of metal at this point in time. It's a random hunk of metal. It's almost like finding an old car. Like, if there's anything Flopsy can use it in, gears and pulleys and metal plates, maybe oil, maybe, but there's not really a weapon or an armor or any usable discernible device that you can pull straight out of that.
Flopsy will grab small gears and pulleys and little bits of stuff. He'll take a little vial and grab some oil just in case Tippy needs some repairs, and he can find that opportunity down the track. And no nets left inside the body or the carapace of this thing?
As you're looking at the arm, you can open the arm up and you can see that there were two more nets loaded up in there. But really, it was at the end of whatever that was. So,
can I take a net?
You certainly can take a net.
So Reggie's going to just have a scout around, see if there's anything else of interest in the area, in the room.
Other than the bookshelves, which you've kind of figured out, they might be magically trapped. There's an armoire. That's a cupboard, Luke.
So what, sorry, an arm?
An army of wars.
All right, okay.
Yeah, the only real thing that you're looking at that's not the desks or the shelves that you probably have figured out by now might be a trap is the cupboard at the end of the room.
Can I go and have a look at the cupboard?
Yeah. You open the cupboard up?
Can I have a look at the cupboard first?
Sure.
Look any, do I think?
The cupboard's just an ancient kind of like a standalone cupboard.
A locking mechanism?
The cupboard from Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe type
thing. Okay, so it looks like it's something I can open. I don't have to be picking locks or anything like that. So just open it.
You open it up and inside you can see some scrolls, you can see some potions, and you can see a book.
Boys, I'll find something here. Come have a look.
I grab out the crystal and look at it through to detect magic on it again.
Okay, so you detect magic in there. You can, all of it detects magic. The book, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scrolls in there, and you've got 2 potions.
Flopsy, over here there seems to be some magic, more magic. These scrolls are magical, this book is magical, and these 2 potions are magical.
May I have a look?
Certainly.
I'll do a full identify using my arcane reservoir so I can.
Okay. So you take the time, we'll just skip through all this, but at the end of it, you get 2 potions of Cure Light Wounds, you get a scroll of Fog Cloud, a scroll of Color Spray, a scroll of Sleep, a scroll of Magic Missile, a scroll of Sound Burst, and a scroll of Burning Hands. The only thing that probably that you look at that you can't identify without actually reading it is the book. As you open the book to identify it, you see right in the cover of the book a rune. The rune that you look at kind of changes for an instant. Then you see electricity crackling all around the images of the rune as the rune begins to explode. But at the same instant, Flopsy, you feel that the ring on your finger gets a little bit warmer as that same greasy feeling washes over you. The explosion that's been triggered by you reading the rune erupts around you with streams of lightning flying, but it almost does so in slow motion. At the same time, a portal opens and interacts with that stream of magic. Energy crackles and the portal begins to blink and flicker as you are all three sucked through it. At this point, can you please give me a reflex save to see how much of this lightning might have affected you?
So Reggie rolled a natural one.
Oh, Reggie's got a natural one. Oh,
Reggie, exhausted from a fight.
That is awful right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's right.
I rolled a natural two for a three.
Oh, this is terrible. And you, Flopsy?
I rolled a 9.
So we're using those.
Plus one on saves, 10.
A 10. The joy of this is that as the electricity pours around you, you all get a plus 4 to this roll.
Okay.
So it's not as bad as you think, but two of you definitely are probably not going to
survive.
Ones and twos aren't the best thing. Everything slows down into slow motion. So imagine this, that grease that you usually feel is kind of flickering in and out. And it's almost like you are in a jar of honey or molasses or something as you move almost in slow motion through this portal. That greasy feeling that accompanies the portal seems solid, almost as if you're traveling in slow motion through time and space. Around you, you can see dozens of different portals opening and closing. And beyond them, all you see is just a blackness, the black of which you've never seen before, as if it almost sucks the light out of the room. As you pass by, one of the portals opens and you can see clearly through it. You see a small bookish man talking to a young girl. The man wears a robe. The top of his bald head is shining. He bends down to the girl and he says, "This ring is the key to it all. Ralzaros has only part of the puzzle solved, but without this, he will always find himself unsuccessful." And with that, he pulls out a ring. Make a perception check for me, please.
18 for Reg.
12.
11.
You can see, all of you, that ring that he pulls out is the exact same one that is on Flopsy's finger right now, that's in his possession.
Does it seem to be the very same one or just as similar?
It looks exactly the same as that. Pressing the ring into her palm while he's wearing it on his finger. "It is very simple. Press the face of the ring against the person you want to share its power with and speak the words." With that, he trails into a spidery language of magic, saying, "Porfantilus Distralis." And the face of the ring glows for an instant, leaving a fading glow on the girl's palm. "Now we are connected. If the tapestry opens, we shall know and we shall be drawn to its location." The small girl looks at her hand and she kind of looks up in wonderment at the old man who's just pressed this ring into her palm and says, "Beldren, if we're connected, why are you sending me away? Should we not just stay together?" "Sweet child, Ralzaros is too conceited for us to work together. Already I feel he has begun to work against me. I need you to take the ring and keep it safe. I fear there is danger to come, and I do not want you in harm's way. Seek the mountains. Be safe." And with that, he embraces her as the portal kind of slips out of your view and you move slowly past it. The lightning, as your attention goes back into the dim area of where you are, begins to move fast and time almost goes almost back to instant. The lightning hits you and you all take...
What was the reflex DC?
The DC was 12, which means that the...
I got 12. Well, with my modifiers, I got 12. You say there's a plus four. With a plus 7 gives me...
Oh, 12, nice. Yeah. So total, you beat 12.
Yep.
Yep. What did you beat in total with the plus 4?
Mine was 7.
And what about you, Flopsy?
I got 4 greater than the number I told you before.
Which is? A lot's happened since then. You passed anyway, though.
I think I was at 12.
You were 12 already, yeah. I think, yeah.
Okay. 16. So that means that the only person that failed that save is Miles McCarthy. Miles, you take 6 points of damage and the rest of you take 3 points of electrical damage as the light from the electricity blinds your eyes and for an instant it gets so bright and then all of a sudden, as the lights subside and the greasiness in the air fades, you find yourselves in an environment that couldn't be more different from where you were in those ice caves. The first thing you notice is the warm air, the hint of the sea entwined in the wind. The second thing you notice is the bustling streets and the buildings that surround the dirty alley that you seem to have appeared in. It seems that you've arrived in a city and a very, large city indeed. You can hear the sounds of a city, but you also hear weird sounds of large kind of rumbling noises that you've never heard before, like factory kind of noises. You see smoke erupting from the tops of buildings, which is very odd, but they're erupting in a plume. Not like they're on fire, but their chimneys are just spewing forth this gust of burning, greasy smoke. At that very moment, a child rounds the corner, not seeing you because she has looked beyond the street from whence she came. She runs right into you. Bang! She falls to the ground, and out of her hands you see a sack filled with wheat kind of hit the floor, and the wheat spreads all over the floor of the alley. She quickly grabs the bag, starts scooping what wheat she can. She stands up. She looks at the three of you when all of a sudden you can see a female gnome in a uniform, a watch uniform that you might know, rounds the corner at speed, clearly in pursuit of this girl. Seeing the scene in front of her, she looks down the street from where she came and she says, "By the authority of the learned guard, stop that urchin!" She then moves around the corner very quickly into the alley, and in a quieter voice, she says, "Run, girl, run, get out of here. Get some food into that belly of yours." And she kind of gestures for the girl to go. The girl takes two looks at her, and then she runs down the alley and disappears out of sight. At that point, the gnomish lady in the watch outfit looks at you and says, "Now, who are you?"
At this point, you probably smell the burning of Miles's hair.
How are you? How's Miles looking?
He's rough.
Rough?
Yeah, he's rough. He's probably, his hair's sticking up. It's probably quite scorched in places and yeah.
Well, then in that case, I think the gnome might look at you and go, "Who are you three? And are you all right?"
I've been better. Miles McCarthy is my name. This is my friend Reggie and Flopsy.
And what is your business here and lingering in this alley?
I'll leave Flopsy to do that. Can I do a heel check on...
Yep. So you immediately move over to there. Yep.
Flopsy would pull the cowl up over his head and step to the back and into the shadows as much as possible, not wanting to be the face of the party at this point. Knowing how people interact with him and what reactions he gets, he thinks possibly there's a better opportunity. So he'll slide back and palm one of the two potions that he got, the cure light potion, to you, Miles McCarthy.
Okay.
Here there. Why is your friend there? Get back here. Don't be sliding on there. By the name of the watch, you are here, and I'm asking you questions. Don't you slink away into those shadows.
Sorry, madam. I'm just trying to help my friend here. He's a little bit worse for wear.
Oh, all right. Let's have a look at you. She kind of walks up, and a gnome, she's even shorter than you, Reg. She kind of walks up with all the bluster in the world, looks at you, Miles. She says, "Oi, bend over." She kind of grabs you by the ear, tugs you down. She looks into your eyes. She kind of makes you follow her finger from left to right. And she says, "Stick out your tongue. Oh, God, where was the last time you had a bath? This is not good." And she kind of looks at you, and a wave of healing comes over you from her hands, and you are actually healed 7 points.
Oh, thank you, miss. I feel so much better now.
All right. Now, let's get to the real point of this story. Did you see that girl that just walked around the alley?
What girl?
Good.
I don't believe we did, madam. There was no girl here and no bag of wheat either.
Well, in that case, allow me to escort you to the Cat and Mage and let me buy you a drink.
Did she seem at all surprised to see Flopsy or how Flopsy appears? So she didn't seem to be fazed by, because he didn't have his hood up at that point when we first bounced in.
Not at all.
Cool.
Not at all.
Flopsy would have quickly kind of covered himself up, knowing how he gets reacted to in town. And he's still trying to figure this out. This is unusual, but no one's been antagonized by him.
Yeah.
Miss, where are we?
You're in Absalom. What do you mean, where are we? This is Absalom, the center of everything. And you're sitting here in the Wise Quarter, the center of all learning.
Okay. Have we heard of that?
Yeah, Absalom's like the capital city.
Yep.
You're in New York, buddy.
Okay.
This is probably the biggest city that you've ever seen.
Yeah, Miles hasn't been anywhere near a town, so he would have been... Like, are we in the alley or are we walking to this...
Well, you kind of exit the alley, and the first thing that hits you is she kind of says...
Before we move off...
Yeah.
One second, madam. And he'll pass off the other potion to Reg, just in case, and say, we're in a different town. We've moved through a portal. Be very careful with your words.
My name is Guardsman Pierre O'Daffy. Let's celebrate what a fantastic day this is. Allow me to take you to the Cat and Mage and buy you all a drink.
Madam, we would be most obliged.
She leads you out of the alley, and for miles going through your eyes, this is the first time you've ever been in a large city. You see people everywhere. You see large buildings, bigger than any building that was in the town that you grew up in, and they're everywhere. They're 3, 4, 5 stories high. For the rest of you, though, the one thing that's weird is coming down the street is a carriage. There's no horses in front of the carriage. You can see a plume of steam coming out of the back of it. You can see some kind of metal contraption on the front of it. And the driver is standing there with a wheel in his hand on a big stick, just tottering down, controlling how the carriage moves. Here and there, you can see little presses. You can see little machines like a street vendor with a grill, but there's no fire under that grill. You see like steam coming out of that. And you can see little cogs, and you can see all of the things that you would take for granted as either magical seem to be more technologically advanced than you have ever been to. You are in some type of steam-powered kind of world. And she says, well, you know, we're just going to head down the street. Have you been to the Cat and Mage at all?
Where are we? This place looks amazing.
What do you mean, where are we? We're in Absalom.
Madam, we are newly arrived in town recently, like this very minute, in fact, and it is our first trip to Absalom. Is Absalom, right?
Yes. What do you mean, Absalom? Have you not heard of us?
Absolutely.
The capital city, the center of learning. You're in the Wise Quarter, the place where everybody goes to know anything that they want to know. This is where it all happens, the center of government that controls all of Galarian. You have made it. What?
Well, sorry, pardon our ignorance. I'm just a common farm boy. We don't get out much.
Well, welcome. First and foremost, though, I can't have you lying down on the street, so let's go and get yourself somewhere to live. Come on, the Cat and Mage is this way. And she disappears off into the crowds, and you kind of see her, you know, bustling through, and you have vendors out there going, would you like something to eat, sir? Shine your shoes.
No, I'm good, thank you.
Look, son, you look like you need a little bit of company tonight.
Don't look him in the eye, Richie. Just keep walking. Bye.
And she leads you through this bustling city all the way to a tavern. The tavern that you see in front of you is crooked, for want of a better word. It comes at a Y intersection of a path, and the tavern kind of comes up for the first story, then the second story tilts, then the third story tilts the other way. You can see metal pipes coming out of all different sides of it. But the one thing that you do note is the smell of food. It's been a while since you guys have had a nice warm meal, and that is what permeates. You can hear laughter from inside. You can hear the war from inside. And as Pierre turns around, she says, welcome to the Cat and Mage. This is where I do all me drinking and me thinking.
It is a wonderful aroma and a wonderful hospitable place. And what a magnificent piece of architecture.
Yes, it's not bad, is it? Come on, let's get yourselves inside.
And as we follow in, gentlemen, be careful about your words.
And with that, you open into a common room that is full of people. She gestures you to a table. And she says, I'll get us the first round then. This is what I like to call a quiet round, if you know what I mean. She taps herself on the nose and she says, you know, little girls will appreciate that, especially the hungry ones. And she toddles off to the bar. And
gentlemen, I have no idea what a quiet round is. Can you explain, please?
I'm as much in the dark as you are, Flopsy. But that food smells sure good.
And with that, we're going to leave this till next week. So I hope you're thirsty, because you ain't getting a drink till then.
I don't understand a quiet round. What? Anyone? What?
It's the difference between being ang and being out.
Good shoes or gone out shoes.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Pop down the shops, I'll get a drink on the way.
Do I need a handbag or not a handbag?
That's right, yeah.
Right.
She's buying your silence with a drink of beer.
I thought we'd already established her, though, that we weren't.
I know, but this is going, ensuring that's going to happen.